County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why this December, we're launching a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month for free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for today's special episode of TCCP is none other than Leicestershire County Cricket Club rising star, Louis Kimber. So Louis, first things first, mate, thank you very much for coming on to the podcast today. It's an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me on anyway. Looking forward to it. Yeah, it's been all right. I was up at 8:30 for the gym. We had to be there at 8:30 for gym, so I've done that. And then I actually had my first bat earlier today. It went actually a lot better than I thought. So that's literally been me today. Now I've just been chilling. So yeah.
Fair play. I'm going to be honest, Louis, it's probably more than I've done today. Just been doing some odd little admin stuff, organising some more guests. And listeners, let me just tell you, there are some excellent guests coming onto the podcast your way heading into December and January. So do keep an eye out for those. But Louis, in terms of today's podcast, then I'm going to be talking to you about your earliest cricketing memories. Then we're going to have a little bit of a chat about the Running Foxes and your time at Grace Road so far. And then we'll end today's episode with some fan questions from Twitter, which I'm very, very much looking forward to. There were some excellent ones in there, to say the least. But before we get into all of that good stuff then, I want to take it all the way back to the origin of the Louis Kimber cricketing journey. So, Louis, what are your first ever memories of cricket, either playing or watching this wonderful game?
Yeah, I don't really remember watching too much, but I reckon when I was like 4 on a Friday night, back home in Lincoln, my parents would always take me down, would go with like schoolmates, take a picnic, probably eat loads of chocolate and whatnot. Then, try and whack some balls and take some wickets. So that was probably from the age of 4 to 6 doing that kind of stuff. Then I'd eventually play in like the under-9s, I think it was, when I was like 7, I think. So yeah, that was probably my earliest cricketing memory, just in the Links area. So yeah, that was me at a very early age.
That's a nice journey into the game, I must admit. And I just want to know a little bit more insight, actually, into the cricketing culture up in Lincolnshire itself, because I have friends up in Scunthorpe and Lincoln itself. What a beautiful place Lincoln is, by the way, with the cathedral. So I am relatively familiar with the county itself, but you don't have a first-class county. You have a national county, which is, of course, Lincolnshire. So what is the cricket culture like in the county itself? Is it very strong, or would you say that the likes of football, rugby or other sports really dominate proceedings in the county?
Probably football is number one. You've got Lincoln City, who are now in League One. So they've come up the leagues in the last few years. I think the last few games have done pretty badly, though, so not great on that behalf. But yeah, cricket's probably not too far off, to be honest. They've obviously got the ECB League and all the other leagues and stuff like that. But, from a young age, there's been loads of interest in it, in links and things like that. And then, yeah, in the minor county stuff, they've actually done pretty well last 4 or 5 years, actually. We've always got to the finals and things like that. Then we always seem to lose to Berkshire every year, basically. But I actually remember playing links like age groups from under 11 to like under 15 or whatever it was. We'd always play like lanks and come across like Cal Parkinson when he was on the scene, actually. That was we rocked up against lanks and got turned over basically every time, which is good fun. But Yeah, no, it's It's not bad. The cricket's not too bad in Lincs.
Well, that is excellent here. It really is. And what a funny story that is, considering that Cal Parkey is now your teammate at Grace Road. And he's told us that story, by the way. I couldn't believe it. He was a seamer. And by his own admission, he said he's up there with the likes of Sakeem Mahmood. Like, they were bowling in the same attack. And then he changed into a left-arm off-spinner. So an interesting route into the game. And it's quite incredible, actually, isn't it, how life's worked out with you two, having played not together, but against one another at age group cricket. And now you're both representing one of the 18 first-class counties. I think that's quite a nice journey into the game, to be honest. And in terms of those formative years, who would you say were your role models, your heroes, your icons in the world of cricket itself? Did you have any players that you really tried to emulate and look up to in those formative years, per se?
Probably as an English batter, Alistair Cook. I always used to love watching him in the Ashes, whether I was watching it in the daytime or whether I was getting up at 11 p.m. watching it all night as a kid when they're in Australia. Yeah, I used to love watching him bat. Not that we probably got many similarities, but yeah, he was always my favourite England player to watch. And then probably overall, AB de Villiers was my number one. I used to love watching him hit the ball wherever he wanted, basically. I just quite like watching them and trying to take little bits from their game and try and bring bits into mine, kind of thing. But yeah, AB he's my favourite.
Great choice. I must admit, Lou, you won't know this, but I'm an RCB fan. Have been since 2008. AB joined them in 2011. Has recently retired as well, which is a massive, massive shame. And in 2019, he played county cricket, didn't he, for Middlesex? And I'll never, ever forget this, because I went down to Cheltenham. Beautiful, beautiful outground, Cheltenham. I went down there for the Middlesex-Gloucestershire match. And I went there pretty obviously to see a game of cricket as well, but the sole aim was to see AB de Villiers. And he got injured the game before. Literally the night before that game, he got injured and was replaced by Dan Lincoln, who made his debut for Middlesex in that game. I'll never forget that either. Or Miles Hammond scoring 60. Again, a very memorable game down at the down in Cheltenham, to be honest, when I think about it. But yeah, what a player. What an incredible, incredible player. And Sir Alistair Cook, we don't really need to go into too much more detail about him. England's all-time leading test run scorer has actually just today, on the 30th of November, just signed a 2-year contract extension as well at Essex. So we've got 2 more years of the chef, which is fantastic news. And Louis, I have to ask, because you mentioned about the Ashes, I'm surprised the 2005 Ashes didn't crop up. That's probably a first in a long time on this podcast that it hasn't came up in the first few questions. But in terms of 2021-22, the Ashes start next week at the Gabba, England versus Australia. What are your thoughts on that series? Do you fancy England to upset the odds and bring the Ashes urn home?
Yeah, you never know. We're probably underdogs at the minute, and probably most people are backing the Aussies. But yeah, you got to have belief, don't you? So, I mean, Stokes is an added bonus as well, having him back. The thing with the tablet wasn't great, but yeah, he seems to be all right now. But yeah, obviously having him is a huge, huge thing for England. So, we'll give it a good crack, I'm sure. And yeah, it'll be a good series again.
I'm going to have to push you here, Louis. If you had to give England a prediction, you knew it was coming.
I'm sitting on the fence big time now.
If you had to give a prediction, what do you say? Let's assume that every single one has a result. So in terms, it goes, all the distance. What do you reckon would be a final scoreline, in your opinion?
We'll go 3-2 England. We'll go 3-2 England.
Interesting. That's what my heart says, by the way. On the podcast, though, on record, I've had to say 5-0 Australia, because my prediction record is absolutely appalling. I've predicted RCB to win the IPL for the past, 14 years now? It's never happened. So, yeah, we'll go 5-0 Australia. And who knows? I might be proven wrong. Hopefully, I am. Hopefully. Fingers crossed as an England fan. I mean, I want to be proven wrong. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what the cricketing gods do provide for us over the next few weeks. But that is going to be such a fantastic series. It really is. England-Australia in the Ashes. I'm not going to miss any of it, hopefully. I'm going to try my absolute best to stay up as well for every single delivery. Are you, Louis, or you got other things to do, I suppose?
Yeah, I will be up until he gets... I'll watch the first session, I reckon, then that'll probably be me. But yeah, for everyone else, have plenty of coffee and it will keep you going.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. I'm going to try and organise some Zoom calls as well with my mates. We'll do it as like an Ashes watch along. I think that's quite a good thing, actually, now with Zoom and Microsoft Teams as well. There is that little bit more interconnectivity, you know, at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that'll be interesting to say the least. Hopefully, fingers crossed, by that point, England are either batting well or bowling well. We'll have to wait and see. But honestly, away Ashes, we just love them, don't we, here in England?
Yeah. It's great fun, especially as a youngster when you're usually going to bed at, 9, 10 o'clock. You can stay up until pester your parents and stay up later much quicker. So, yeah.
Yeah, and Louis, this is going to be such a tough question. It really is, because I alluded to it beforehand, 2005, for a lot of county cricketers and a lot of cricket fans here in England and Wales, is the real go-to series. But I'm thinking as well, over the past decade, in 2010-11, we had that famous victory down under against Australia. Then 2019, I know England didn't necessarily win the Ashes, but what a series that was. With a Headingley miracle, we had Steve Smith absolutely dispatching our bowlers pretty much every single game. It was a wonderful series, I suppose, for a neutral. If you could go back in time and relive just one of those Ashes series, which one would you select and why?
It'd probably have to be 05, I reckon. That was pretty special to watch. I'm pretty sure it was on Channel 4 back then, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think. It'd have to be that. Obviously, Ponting was probably also one of my favourite cricketers, even though he's an Aussie. Yeah, I like watching him. Some of the names that both teams had playing for them, it would have been pretty cool watching them or playing with them in their peak. So, yeah, I'd probably edge towards 05.
Fair enough. Yeah, it is a common one here on the podcast, and rightfully so. It's an iconic series, isn't it? And if you had to relive just one moment, I suppose, one highlight, one moment in time of that incredible series, which one would you choose?
The Edge Baston. I think it was Edge Baston. The Geraint Jones catch down leg side, gloved off. I can't remember who was batting.
Casper Witch.
Yeah, that's the one. Can't say it. Harmison, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's my fondest memory of that, of the series. So yeah, it'd be that.
Good choice, that. I must admit, I would probably go for that one as well. I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch it live. I was only 4 in 2005. Wasn't really much of a cricket fan back then, unfortunately. I was more 2009. That's my era when I started getting into English cricket. But what an incredible series. It really is. And Louis, again, the age-old question. Do either yourself or someone in your household have that iconic DVD of the series?
Yeah, we do, actually. I remember as a kid, I'd rewatch each DVD. I'm not sure where it is now, to be honest. I actually remember, I was actually at the Trent Bridge test when I think Brett Lee hit like 3 in a row over, like out the stands. And it was when Strauss took that like worldie catch in the slips off Gilchrist, I'm pretty sure it was. I remember that one pretty well. So that would be the other moment. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's made me a bit envious, I can't lie. You're actually there for that. That was the same test as well, the famous Gary Pratt run out of Ricky Ponting. And then Ponting started giving all the verbals to Duncan Fletcher in the England balcony. Oh, that's really cool. I must admit, yeah, that's made me a bit envious, to be honest. What a series. What a series, though. There's so many fantastic moments. And again, from an Australian perspective as well, that first test at Lord's, Glenn McGrath getting wicket number 500, getting Marcus Trescothick. What a series. And Old Trafford as well. Old Trafford, which sold out. There were people at the gates wanting to get in, and there were literally no more tickets left. So 2005, what a series. What an incredible series. And I think it's pretty well known now, the impact that it's had in terms of making cricket a lot more mainstream, Louis. Would you agree with that in terms of the cultural impact that series has had on cricket in this country?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's similar to like the World Cup, when we won the World Cup. you know, a lot more people like talk about cricket, and it's in the media just a lot more, and it's a bit more out there for people. But yeah, that would have, especially for a lot of people probably who are playing county cricket, like my age, a bit younger or even older, you know, it inspires you to try and get to that level, really. Because you'd love moments like that in your career or to watch them again. So yeah, no, it would have had a massive impact.
It definitely has. It really has. It seems to come up pretty much every single interview episode with people who are like from the ages of 22 to 27 or older, because it was just such a monumental series and one which has had quite clearly a lasting impact. So that is absolutely fantastic. And to be honest, yeah, I might watch some of those highlights later. To be honest, I think that's inspired me to rewatch that Edgbaston test in particular. But Louis, moving on from the Ashes and the pre-Ashes talk, I suppose, for 2021 to 22, just to get back on track, really, I want to know a bit more about your journey as a batsman. So what was it about batting that drew you in the first place? Why wasn't Louis Kimber a seamer, or even better, an off spinner or a leg spinner? Why did you choose to become a specialist batsman in the first place?
I remember actually when I was 11, I'm pretty sure we had a county, it was like the first county training session or something, and we didn't really have a keeper. And I was like, well, the coach said, does anyone want to give it a go? And I was like, yeah, go on then, I'll try it. And so I kept probably from the age of 11 to, well, I actually kept last year in the twos, in a T20, which was good fun. But yeah, batting, probably since I started from four up to now, has just been like my favourite aspect of cricket. And it probably helps that my two brothers are bowlers as well. So, I mean, garden cricket back in the day, kind of still now, actually, you can just get them to bowl at you and hit them everywhere. So, yeah, that probably helped. And then my dad used to play like he used to play like OK Standard in Sussex. He played for Horsham, actually. And, you know, so he loves cricket. And he basically got us into cricket. Then mum would often drive us to all these different places in the UK. So, yeah, that's kind of how I got into batting, really, and wicket-keeping. And then the keeping kind of stopped. And then... I tried to become an off spinner, so I'm still working on it, actually. So yeah.
See, that is excellent, by the way. I'm an off spinner by trade as well. I say off spinner, usually slow spinner. If there's a little bit in the track, maybe it might start turning a couple of degrees, but yeah, I do love the art of off spin. It's lucky you're not an off spinner, Louis, to be honest, because otherwise we'd be here for about 2 hours. Honestly, you should listen to the episode with Callum Parkinson. Genuinely, it's like 45 minutes of off spin. and then the rest of the chat was about his career. But no, that's very, very nice. And again, very much family orientated then in terms of those earliest cricketing memories. And that brings me nicely onto the first fan question of the day, which is from a certain Philip Kimber. And Phil says, who's the best cricketer in the family, Louis, in your opinion?
I'd give it to myself. I mean, my brother's at Surrey, but I was hoping to play him last year, actually, but he was injured in the morning, I think, of the one-day game. So, yeah, that was a bit annoying because I'd like to put him into the stands. But, yeah, we'll have to wait, I guess, and see if that happens again. But, yeah, I'd give it to myself. My middle brother's pretty handy as well. Plays a bit of, like, minus county stuff. But yeah, I'd have to give it to myself.
Well, there you go, Phil. You've got your answer there. Louis Kimber, the best of the Kimbers, the best of the best, shall we say, here on the County Cricket Podcast. And in terms of that batting style as well, Louis, I'd like to know a little bit more about your mentality and your approach to batting, not just at the professional level, but throughout your cricketing journey as well. Have you always had this really aggressive counter-attacking approach to your batting? Or is that something which has, I don't know, developed with age and maturity? Is that how you've always attacked bowlers? Or again, I suppose, does that come with time? How would you go about putting that approach into your own words, per se?
Well, yeah, to be honest, no, not at all. So when I was a kid, I used to kind of had like decent technique and whatnot. And I was always pretty small. I was always like the smallest in my class and things like that, which probably comes as a bit of a surprise. But yeah, and then so like through the county age groups, I was probably more worried about my technique than actually like hitting the ball, which is the main objective. And then I'm pretty sure I went to Australia, and then I kind of came back and I was like, I've got a sufficient technique. Just hit the ball. Just if it's there, hit it. If it's not, you block it, leave. And kind of, yeah, I've just gone with like a positive approach ever since, really. Whether that was playing for Lynx, club cricket, or whoever, really. Yeah, a positive mindset. That's definitely helped me anyway. So, it's something I've definitely developed though, or learned probably. So,
that's interesting to hear. It really is. And if you could just expand upon it ever so slightly, Louis, in terms of that moment, when did it actually click? You alluded to Australia, but was there a specific moment where that mindset, the mentality, that approach changed almost wholesale for you?
Yeah, actually, probably the innings. It was the first season. Well, the season I got back from Australia, the very first game was like a friendly against Notts 2s for Lynx, actually. And they actually had like a decent team. They had like Luke Fletcher, Brett Hutton, Brendan Taylor, Billy Root. I think Tom Moore's played. So a few guys who have done really well now. Matt Milnes as well.
Not about bowling.
I ended up getting 100. But I was probably just like, and some people were like, oh, what have you done? And stuff. I was like, I've not really done much, I don't think. I was just like, my job's to score runs, so I'm going to try to do that. And yeah, it was nothing technical. It's probably just more of a mindset change, to be honest. You know, a lot of people say it's more of a mental game, which, you know, it definitely is. So you can have quirky techniques and things like that, which work with each individual, I guess. And then, yeah, I guess what separates people is probably what's up top. But yeah, that was probably the moment where I thought, yeah, no, this is good. You know, kind of express yourself type thing.
Well, that's really, really interesting to hear. And in particular, the bit, I know it is a little bit cliche, it's an old adage, isn't it, in this game, but it's 90% mental and 10% physical. It really is. Cricket is such a mentally driven game in terms of the psychological aspects, in terms of approach and mentality and mindset and maintaining that even keel. It's so, so important in our game. And I suppose in terms of batting in particular, for any young batters out there, the key thing, I suppose, is to be positive with your intent. And that isn't always a case of hitting every ball for six, is it, Louis? Because I certainly can't do that. I mean, my go-to shot is the outside edge down to third man. But in terms of, you know, just showing that proactive nature in your batting, maybe taking the attack to a bowler when the ball is there to be hit, it's such an important trait. And that's what I found quite interesting there. Because with some batters, it does come with age, doesn't it? It takes a bit of time and then you realise all of a sudden, well, I'm there to score runs. Maybe if I change my approach, my mentality, my outlook, I can score even more.
Yeah, no, I'd 100% agree. It's still something that I'm like working on now, especially with like intent and things like that. Especially early on with the innings, I think it's pretty important, especially for me. Because gradually, the further you go that through your innings, I guess the like it just becomes just natural, I guess. But yeah, especially early on, if you can have that intent. And yeah, it's not trying to, as you said, hit every ball for four or six. It's even when you're defending, I guess, you're showing that intent to the bowler that you kind of mean business and you're going to have to put a lot of hard work and stuff to try and even get me out. So yeah.
Absolutely do. Yeah, very, very well put there. And I have to ask, in terms of that batting, when you are in that bowler, when you're in the fray, in the middle of that pitch, do you ever give a little bit of verbals to the bowlers or not?
No, I kind of keep quiet. I just laugh. I haven't really got much stick, actually. But yeah, if I do, I'd probably laugh at them. to be that, honest. Yeah, I won't give much back.
That's probably for the best.
In the end anyway.
Exactly. I was just about to say that, funny enough. I mean, there's so many times, aren't there, when batsmen do give it a little bit too large, in particular to the fast bowlers, and then one or two balls later, the off stump's cartwheeling, or they've got out to a short ball. Trust me, don't backchat bowlers. Let me just tell you that right now. It rarely, rarely ever goes your way. So yeah, just another little tidbit of advice for any young cricketers out there. Do not sledge bowlers. If you're a bowler, hey, and you want to have that white line fever, and you want to, you know, that's your style, go for it. But then again, in cricket, it's got a funny way of biting you in the backside. It really does, to quote Andrew Flintoff against Dwayne Bravo, I think that was, in a series against the West Indies. So another little reference to a certain English cricketer. But Louis, in terms of those days at Lincolnshire now, before we get into our chat about Leicestershire, your experiences in 2021, and of course our fan questions to wrap up today's podcast, how would you describe your experiences in national county cricket with Lincolnshire? How important, how integral were those years in developing the Louis Kimber that we see today?
Yeah, pretty important. I think the one nice thing is, like, especially like minor counties cricket, you play 3-day cricket, so you can get used to like batting for long periods, which probably really helped me actually. Because I learn ways of going about it type thing. And then you've obviously got like your T20s and your 50 over stuff with that. But yeah, there's some decent players as well in the minor stuff. Like, you've got quite a few like ex-pros. You get current pros, and then you've got guys who are trying to push through into that next level type thing. So it can be quite competitive. And yeah, links, we had a pretty good team probably 3 years ago. You know, we were getting to most of the finals, but I think, like I said earlier, Berkshire just always seemed to have the edge in the finals. I'm pretty sure we lost 4 in a row to Berkshire in finals. So yeah, it's about time we got one over on them, but yeah.
Fair enough. If there's any Berkshire cricketers out there, yeah, some fighting talk. Is there a bit of a rivalry there between Berkshire and Lynx? I know, obviously not in, you know, a local derby kind of sense. I'm guessing there's no animosity, but it is a case of they're beating us quite a few times in finals. We need to get our own back.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. We've been close on a couple of occasions and kind of thrown it away a little bit, but yeah, no, we definitely, if we're playing them again, we want to stuff them, yeah. We want to win.
What a way of putting it. That's a fantastic way of putting it. And from those days with Lynx and experiencing national county cricket here in England and Wales, you got your chance, Louis, to represent Leicestershire County Cricket Club for the first time. So before we talk about the debut and we talk about your initial experiences at the club itself, how did the move to Grace Road initially materialise? How did you go from playing national county cricket with Lincolnshire to playing first-class cricket with the Running Foxes?
Yeah, well, I was, I've actually just finished at Loughborough, but I was at Loughborough Uni, so doing like MCCU stuff there. And obviously Leicester's 20, 25 minutes away. And Nico messaged me after, I reckon it was probably like a year and a bit ago, just before COVID, maybe even 2 years, just before COVID kind of was around. And they're interested in getting me into like training things with them over that winter. And then COVID came. So that kind of scuppered those chances, well, obviously with like bubbles and stuff. So you had to be a bit more secure. So, which is a bit frustrating, but yeah, we played them this April, actually. So I was playing for Loughborough against Leicester in a warm-up game. I didn't really do much. I think I got 20 and then 25 not out in the second innings. And Dips, the twos coach, I'd already like knew Dips from Loughborough because he used to work, or still does work there, for the AU sides. And he was like, oh, yeah, we want you in at Leicester playing twos cricket. So yeah, he called me and said, coming to train a few times. So I had a couple of training sessions before the first game against Notts, actually. And yeah, luckily that first game actually went very much to plan. So yeah, that's kind of where it started at Leicester, really.
Fair enough. And in terms of those real formative years with the club, I know it was only this year, to be honest, but in terms of those real early days, what were your first impressions of Leicestershire County Cricket Club? Having experienced national county cricket with links, I'm guessing the facilities, there would have been a massive difference between the two because Leicestershire, professional county, one of the 18 first-class counties. But in terms of the expectations, in terms of the group, in terms of the fans and the ground itself, what were your first impressions of the Foxes?
I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, I loved it, actually. Because it's always something I've wanted to do from a young age, was to play professional cricket. And so to finally then get the opportunity to do so, it was kind of surreal, but I always kind of had that belief, like inner belief that I was good enough and I am good enough to play that level of cricket. But yeah, like standards, yeah, you'll know kind of what is expected and you want to go almost beyond that, I think. And really try and push the standards. All the facilities are pretty good there as well. The outdoor nets are very nice to bat on, actually. They can be a bit spicy at times, but most of the times they're really nice to bat on before, especially like the T20 stuff. They were coming on pretty nice, actually, with the white balls. But yeah, no, it is a step up. But yeah, the facilities, I guess, at every county, it's really good. And it's almost, I always kind of view it as they're all set up for you to do, for you to succeed type thing. Everything's there as long as you do the hard work and keep like striving to get better, I feel like. Yeah.
But that is the right way of viewing it, because that is the whole point of the counties. It's to develop these players, such as yourself, Louis, into the best players that we possibly can. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, if all things go well, injuries aside and setbacks aside, you can maybe one day go and represent England in the international arena. That is what these counties do so well. And I know this summer we've had the 100, for example, and I know that a lot of people are saying, oh, there's all these fantastic players and look what the 100's doing. But these were created by the counties. It's such an important feeder network for franchise cricket and for international cricket. And that's why I do wish that counties at times would get a little bit more, you know, recognition, a bit more praise, especially from the media at times, because they're integral. They really are such an integral part of the English cricketing framework. And without them, who knows where we'd be? So it's absolutely integral. And I couldn't agree more. They are fantastic for developing young cricketers in particular. And also you do have your legends as well, don't you? Your veterans, your James Hildreths, your Darren Stevens, you know, your Chris Rushworths. Graham Onions, who has unfortunately retired now, but yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful setup. And if you can't tell, listeners, yeah, I am very, very passionate about it as well. And Lou, you mentioned there about the the much fabled Grace Road outdoor nets, which are quite funny, actually, because we've heard this in the past from Leicestershire players. I have to ask, who's the one bowler in the Foxes squad that you hate facing the most in the nets?
I don't really mind facing bowlers. I think I was facing, we got Raheem, who coaches, on the slinger, and he can put it down pretty quick. There's quite a few bouncers, which isn't always the nicest to face. I think there was one session in the summer, I remember, I think Abby Sikande, he started coming around the wicket bumpers at me, which I was like, oh, brilliant. But yeah, and I guess you'll have to do it on the pitch sometimes. So I guess it's always good to practice. You don't always want to do it, I guess, but it's kind of part and parcel of cricket. So you get on with it, I guess, and work out how to deal with it and to succeed at it, really.
Well, you do indeed, because you never know how your career pans out. One day, you could be, I don't know, in an ODI game, a T20I game, a Test game, a World Cup game. and you might have one of those short pitch barrages. And you look back on those days, don't you? You remember the days when you used to absolutely struggle against them. And then who knows, if you pull an international quality bowler for a 4 or 6, you look back on there and you go, that was the moment. That helped me on this pathway. So yeah, you live and you learn. It's always important. You do learn lessons along the way, Louis. And trust me, there's a lot more learning to do, considering it is your first year in county cricket. So again, just learn as much as possible. That'd be my advice, even though I'm not a county cricketer. But trust me, I've learned quite a bit from the podcast, and a lot of older pros do say that. The first 3 years in particular, so, so important in terms of just learning as much as you possibly can. And talking of these early years then, Louis, I want to take you to your debut this season, 2021, in the Vitality T20 Blast. What do you remember from walking onto that field and representing Leicestershire County Cricket Club for the first time in your career?
Yeah, no, it was special, yeah. I remember it pretty well, actually. I think we ended up losing. I think we literally chucked the game away. I don't really know how we lost. It wasn't great memories, obviously, of the debut. I think I got 0 as well. So, you know, it can only go up, I guess, from there. It was pretty good making my debut. Walking out in front of the Leicester fans. It will stay with me for my life, yeah.
As it should, debuts are always incredibly, incredibly special. And I know, obviously, not the most ideal of circumstances, a 2-wicket loss in a game which realistically Leicestershire should have won. Let's be completely honest. And yeah, 2-ball duck. Do you remember the bowler who got you out?
Matt Potts, wasn't it, I think.
Yes, it was. Spot on. So to be fair, not the greatest of debuts, I suppose, from a results perspective. But I'll tell you what, Louis, you're not as unfortunate as Mark Adair. I usually bring him up on the podcast. He lost every single Warwickshire debut, all three of them. Championship, lost. And we got hammered in that one as well. I'm pretty sure it was by a lot of runs or even an innings and an X amount of runs, which wasn't ideal. Then he lost his List A and he lost his T20 Blast one as well. But it's not about how you start, is it? It's about how you finish and how you get back from those setbacks. And in terms of the debut itself, would you say that was your favourite moment from the 2021 season, your first season as a member of the Foxes? Or was there another moment? I can think of a couple of knocks in the One Day Cup, which might be up there for you. But would you say it was the debut? Or was there another moment which pit that as your real highlights of the 2021 season?
Yeah, it would definitely be up there. It's probably in my top three.
What are the other two?
Probably the 80 when we beat Somerset, and probably the 50 in the Blast when we beat Derby, I reckon. Just because it also, probably the 50 almost like reassured. Well, probably to me, it felt like, I can actually like do it. Because when like you don't score runs for a couple of games, you're like, it can be a bit like, come on. But once that happens, it kind of just settles you down a little bit, I guess, and probably relaxes you. So yeah, they were probably the three moments for me over the summer, I'd say.
Hey, three very, very worthy moments as well. And it's funny you mentioned the Somerset one. I think that's the one where people started really taking notice of your game in this year's Royal London One Day Cup. And this takes us nicely on to another one of our Twitter questions. This is from Dan Weston, the man, the myth, the legend himself. Okay, he's been on our podcast on multiple occasions. Big up to Dan. And he said, talk us through that over where you took Marchant de Langer for 29 runs in a single over. Talk us through that.
Yeah, I was starting to see the ball fairly well, actually. And it was the pitch at Somerset's.
Quite nice.
Very nice. The battle, yeah. Yeah, it was very nice. Probably the best pitch I played on all year, actually. I think Hilly was going pretty well at the other end. He eventually got 100, I think. I think the first ball was a Yorker and I hit it for one. I think then Hilly hit a one. And then I'm pretty sure, I have a feeling I went down to Hilly and I said, I'm just going to try and hit every ball for 6. And yeah, luckily, I think he bowled a no ball. And then I got the free hit, and luckily I think he just missed his Yorker. So yeah, it was pretty cool. That was a pretty good moment. And the boundaries weren't too big either at Somerset. So especially with the pace he bowls, if he bowls you a bumper or whatever, if you top edge it or slightly mishit it, you've got a chance for it going for six, I guess, over the ropes. But no, yeah, that was a pretty special moment.
I can imagine it was. 29 runs in an over. That is absolutely staggering. You know, I didn't even get 29 runs this season. Bang at number 10. I got 23 in six innings. So that says a lot about that. Maybe I need to go and have a bat in Taunton. Obviously, the surface is beautiful. It's absolutely immaculate. You've got some great batsmen down here. Having you with the likes of Tom Banton, Tom Abel, Devon Conway, James Hildreth, just to name but a few. It really is a batter's paradise. The Cooper Associates County Ground, and yes, some not minute boundaries, but some smaller ones in comparison to other grounds. That does always help if you are a batsman. Maybe not for the bowlers, but yeah, if you're a batsman, I imagine you quite like the CACG. I certainly would if I was batting there. And in terms of the wider season as a whole then, Louis, taking the debut into effect, taking the 50, the 85 against Somerset, all of these into account, in retrospect, how would you go about putting the 2021 season into your own words? How would you go about describing your experiences in your debut season with the Foxes?
Well, I probably wasn't expecting to play as many games as I did either. Because at the start of the season, I was still just a student, just at Loughborough. And I think it was in May, that's when I actually signed, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, it was pretty surreal, but you know, I almost put it as like a taste. It was like a nice like taster for what's to come, I reckon. But yeah, I can't wait for next year already, to be honest. And getting outdoors again. I know we've only had a few weeks back, but yeah, I can't wait to get outdoors already.
Yeah, I think that's quite relatable to a lot of us. We've had snow here in the UK. For those who don't know, it's been absolutely miserable. Wet, windy, snowy, sleety. We've had some hail here in Warwickshire as well. The weather's been atrocious compared to the summer. I mean, I cannot wait for the 2022 season. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of moves as well, aren't there? Lots of different new signings. I mean, you've just got Tom Scriven, haven't you, at Leicestershire, along with Ramanullah Gurbaz. I mean, have you seen much of him, Louis, in the past or not?
I haven't actually, no. We've got Nav back, obviously. So a fellow countryman. That'll probably help him, actually, like settle down a bit. But I've seen actually a couple of clips in T10, actually. He seems to give it a good old whack. So yeah, I'm looking forward to watching him.
He certainly does. Let me just tell you, for the Leicestershire fans out there who have not seen Ramanullah Gurbaz before, you're in for an absolute treat. I said it actually before the signing. I think it was a couple of days, if not a week before. But we put it up on the Twitter, actually, saying about Ramanullah Gurbaz and Hazratullah Zazai, two guys who, in my opinion, I thought were really quite cost-effective options for the 2022 Blast. And then a few days later, it comes up on Leicestershire's Twitter, Ramanullah Gurbaz has signed. I can't wait to see him. I really can't. I hope he doesn't score too many runs against my beloved Warwickshire. That's the only thing that I will say. But trust me, if you're a Leicestershire fan, go down to Grace Road, just watch this guy in action. So, so good. I think he's 20 now. I think he's 19 or 20. He's really not that old either. So potentially, who knows, many, many years of Ramanullah could be yet to come. And of course, Vian Mulder as well, who's actually signed, was meant to come last year, wasn't he? And unfortunately, due to, I think it was a Proteus selection. He got selected, he got an international call-up, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, didn't arrive. But hey, 2022, Vian Mulder also at Grace Road. So very, very exciting times indeed in the East Midlands. So before we go on to our concluding segment then, let's go on to our fan questions, because we did get quite a few from Twitter. We have already had a couple throughout today's podcast, but the first one is from Charlie. Now, Charlie is also from Lincolnshire, always, always has your back on social media as well. So thank you for sending this in, Charlie. And your question to Louis was, which bowler have you found the most challenging to face so far?
I would just say Charlie actually used to be, so he used to be my geography and cricket teacher.
You're kidding.
At secondary school, no. So.
Oh, no wonder then. There's that connection. So,
yeah. Best bowler. Okay, I faced Jimmy, but only for like a couple of balls. This was like a couple of years ago. So he was obviously very good. I always actually think Matt Milnes. Like, I've always seemed to like play, I always seem to play against them. I always usually seem to do quite well against them. And then this year didn't go too well. But I think Milnes is a pretty good cricketer. He's done well in all three formats as well this year. So yeah, and I've seen him, so he was at Notts when I was at Notts, I reckon probably like 5 years ago. And it's been quite nice to see like his progress as well. But yeah, no, he's done pretty well, and yeah, we might play against him this year.
Yeah, you might do. Who knows, in the T20 Blast as well, quarterfinals. My Bears lost to Matt Milnes, Kent, in this year's quarterfinals, so we'll have to try and, you know, rectify that in 2022. But Matt Milnes, in my opinion, very, very underrated. I really do think that. He just seems to pick up wickets in regular bunches. I know, obviously, Kent, we look at the likes of Harry Podmore, Darren Stevens. They've just got Matt Henry back as well, which is going to be a massive boost for the Southeastern County. But Matt Milnes, honestly, a brilliant, brilliant cricketer. And in my opinion, does deserve a little bit more of a wider recognition. Really, really does. As you said, excellent across all three formats. Disciplined. Very, very accurate with his line and length. And yeah, I think he's, what, 26, 27 as well? Not that old, is he?
Yeah, no, he's still very young, and still has probably got a lot of learning, like all of us do. But he's done really well this year. They won the Blast as well. That looked like a good day of cricket, actually.
I was there for that.
Oh, yeah. Holy Stand?
Unfortunately not, no. No, I wasn't. I was in the West Stand. So, you know where the big media centre is, Edgbaston? I was to the left of that with a lot of Kent and Somerset fans, which was quite funny, to be fair. So, they were going through all of the emotions on that day. And then me and my mate, we're both Warwickshire fans. We were just there enjoying the cricket. When Darren Stevens came out, it was like a gladiator entering his Coliseum. It was absolutely spectacular. Jordan Cox's catch as well, absolutely phenomenal. So, yeah, Kent's, we'll have to wait and see if they can defend that next season. I mean, Leicestershire are going to be gunning for them, as are pretty much every single one of the other 17 counties. So, we'll have to wait and see how that does play out in 2022. This next one, I like this. This is from Ben Thorne, who is a Leicestershire fan, Louis. And he asks, what is your best ever experience with a fan?
Yeah, that was, I think, I can't remember, it was Yorkshire, I'm pretty sure, wasn't it? At home. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was.
He was sat behind me, actually. I was getting questions like, who do you support and things like this. I said Arsenal.
Good choice.
Great choice. And then, they're Leicester fans. So he was like, oh, you're actually not too bad for an Arsenal fan and things like this. We're kind of just talking on the boundary. I was in between balls, obviously. I was concentrating mainly on the game, but yeah, in between have a bit of a chat. But no, that was really good fun. He actually messages me every now and then on Twitter about like if Arsenal lose or something, or if Leicester lose, I'll be like, yeah, I'm lucky, or some little comment like that. But yeah, no, that was good fun. And then in one of the games at Yorkshire, I was fielding in front of the Western Terrace at one point. And yeah, that was pretty funny, actually. Some of the comments are pretty funny. So yeah, it was all good fun.
I'll tell you what, Louis, you're going to enjoy the Hollies. You really are. I know Leicester didn't play there this year, which was a little bit of a shame, actually. But trust me, if you field in front... We played in the One Day Cup, yeah.
Yeah, the 50 over game.
I was there actually, but in the Hollies for that, but it wasn't very full, was it?
No, it wasn't actually. No.
Good game though. Great, great comeback for my Warwickshire boys. Yeah. Excellent result. But George Garrett, Manraj Johal, Jordan Ball Pit, big up to all the boys. But yeah, trust me, the Hollies under lights in a T20 game is something else. You might get a few comments, but yeah, just ride with it. Roll with the punches, per se. And yeah, the Hollies will take you under their wing. But nice interaction there then with Ben. And the other question from Ben is, what's your go-to meal deal? I'm guessing this is inspired by Happy Hour, the Jackmate podcast.
Meal deal. I'm actually not great with meal deals. I never usually ever get them. I actually love my biltong at the minute. So that's like my go-to snack. But if I had to pick one, I was actually talking to our S&C, well, both of our S&Cs this morning, actually, about hoisin duck wraps. For some reason, it came into conversation. So yeah, that would probably be my choice of wrap. And then what is it? You get like a sandwich crisp and like a something else, don't you? So if I was to get crisps, I'd actually probably just go ready salted. Quite boring, but you know, classic. And then chocolate bar. If I had to pick a favorite chocolate bar, it'd probably be a Bueno, white Bueno, I reckon.
That's a shout. That is a very, very nice shout. I'm not going to give mine away. I'm going to save mine for another podcast, but that is a good question, actually. We might start asking that in the future because it is a classic from Happy Hour. It's another podcast by a YouTuber called Jackmate. And yeah, you do find some very, very funny answers in there, to be fair. Yeah. Ready salted crisps after hoisin, after you've got the flavours of the hoisin duck wrap, and then you go with ready salted. I mean...
Probably a bit disappointing, but...
Ben, let him know on Twitter. Send him a DM after this podcast. Let him know your thoughts. Right, moving on to our next one then. This is from Karanjit Bansal, aka KSB Cricket on Twitter. And Karanjit asks, who's your favourite ever coach that you've worked with a little winky face?
I'll probably have to say Karanjit. yeah, he's one of my good mates. I used to play with him at Lynx. And he's got his own coaching academy now, which he's doing pretty well at. In from Scunthorpe, actually.
Big up Sonny Scunny, as they call it.
But yeah, when I was young, through Lynx, it was like Mark Phil. He used to play Notts, Leicester. And then another guy who I used to go to, he actually does umpiring. He does pro umpiring now. Paul Pollard, if you know him. So he was a very good coach. He's probably my number one.
Well, that's quite nice. So there you go, Karanjit. Hope that I hope that is definitely a sufficient answer. I mean, he's literally just said favorite ever coach to work with. That's a massive, massive honor, to be fair. So yeah, hope that puts a nice smile on your face, mate. And moving on to our last one. We call them the fan questions, the Twitter questions, because this is from a certain George Rhodes, your teammate down at Grace Road. And his one, he didn't actually put any specific questions, but he did put a statement. Ask him some pub quiz questions with the hashtag University Challenged. Right, so Louis Kimber, I have got you an assortment of questions. There's only three of them, to be fair, of varying difficulty. But I did some trivia, okay? For those who don't know, I actually used to do trivia quite often. So Louis, the first question that I've got for you, who is the current host of University Challenge?
I honestly have got zero clue. I used to watch it like every now and then as well, like a few years ago. But yeah, not my cup of tea now. But honestly, I couldn't tell you.
Would the initials help?
You can give me them, but still probably no.
JP.
No chance.
Fair enough. It Jeremy Paxman. That's who it is. Paxman.
Yeah, I remember the first name now.
Yep. Moving on to our second one. this is a little bit difficult, to be fair. But it is a capital city question. Louis, what is the capital city of Bangladesh?
Oh, God. I used to do geography as well.
Charlie will be listening to this with intent.
Yeah, I haven't done it for quite a few years now. Bangladesh, you see, I should get this. I should get it. Oh, like Dhaka, isn't it? Dhaka?
Final answer?
Yeah, Dhaka.
Correct. Very, very good. Yeah, it is. Is indeed. Yeah, Dhaka. Dhaka. Yeah, very, very good, Louis. And moving on to our last one, because it is the County Cricket Podcast, I had to put a little bit of a cricket question in there. This is quite a tough one, to be fair. In which year did the first ever County Championship take place?
Ooh, yeah, that is tough. I have actually no idea. I was going to say probably 18 something. 18... I don't know, 1888?
That is an outstanding guess. You're so close. You're 2 years off. 1890.
1890?
Fair play. Fair play. That is that's an excellent guess.
Yeah, I'm not as bad as Rosie thinks. It was because we had a quiz. So there was like, Leicester hosted a quiz and they needed a player's team. So it was myself, George Rhodes, Alex Evans and Tom Scriven. And I mean, neither of us offered too much, to be honest, because we came last out of 17 teams, like quite comfortably. So yeah, that's probably why Rhodesy's jumped on that. But yeah.
To be fair, Louis, I must admit, that was an excellent guess. And you did get Dhaka correct. So 1.5 out of 3, I'll give you a half point on that last one, because that was, you know, it was a difficult question, to be fair. But yeah, 1890, won by Surrey County Cricket Club, the first ever county championship. And yeah, if George is listening to the podcast, because that was cheeky, by the way, if he comes onto the podcast, we're going to do the exact same thing. So George, if you're listening, get your trivia head on when you come onto the County Cricket Podcast. We'll ask him three difficult questions for you, Louis. We'll see how you both stack up.
Yeah, I'd like to see who wins. Yeah.
Who knows, to be fair, one day might have to get your head to head and see who has the better general knowledge. But to be honest, Louis, I think that's it for the, yes, it is. That is it for the Twitter questions for this week's episode. Just one final thing then, before we wrap up today's recording of the podcast, we'll go back onto your chat about Leicestershire. And of course, 2022, it's not that far away now, is it, actually? When you think about it, there's what, 4 and a bit months until the season starts and the county grind gets underway once more. So, Louis, heading into 2022, what are your future aspirations with the club from both an individual and a team perspective? What are you hoping to achieve with Leicestershire County Cricket Club heading into the foreseeable future?
Well, as a team, hopefully challenge for some titles. We weren't actually too far off in the white ball stuff last year. We ended up throwing away a couple of games in both the T20s and the 50 over stuff. And had they have gone our way, we probably would have been in the mix to have gone through to the next rounds. But that wasn't to be. So hopefully put that right and get through to the quarters and see what happens in the T20 and likewise in the 50 over stuff. And then obviously in the county championship, pushing for that promotion. It's going to be it's exciting times. We've got a nice squad with a good few overseas additions. So that would be good to see the development and how we get on next year. And then personally, to play, try and be in the team from game one in the Red Bull stuff. You know, it'll be competitive to see who gets in. So hopefully I'm in there. But if not, then I'll be banging the door down for sure. Just continue working hard, and you never know. Might one day hopefully play for England. If all goes well. But.
Well, Louis, I think it goes without saying, but we here at the County Cricket Podcast, I wish him both yourself and Leicestershire County Cricket Club nothing but the very, very best of luck heading into the 2022 season. I say this all the time, and you're very much part of this as well, actually. The likes of yourself, Tom Scriven, Rian Ahmed's another one, a great, great young player for me up in Leicestershire. Depends where you are in the country geographically. But the project going on at Grace Road at the moment is absolutely fantastic to see. It really is. You've got some outstanding young talent there. It's a really, really exciting squad. And just another thing as well, bunch of good lads. I will say that the Leicester boys, whenever we've had them on the podcast, we've had the likes of Cal Parkey on, Scott Steele. We've had quite a few of the Leicestershire players on. Always an absolute delight to have onto the podcast. So wishing the Foxes all the best heading into next season, Louis. And just before we wrap up today's episode then, do you just have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, websites, anything like that?
I don't actually personally, but no. But no, thanks very much for having me on. It's been nice to chat about life and cricket, I guess. So no, thanks very much.
Well, Louis, it's been an absolute pleasure. It really has. I mean, as you can judge by Twitter, obviously a very, very popular player as well, and someone with an incredibly high ceiling. So I don't think this will be the last we hear of Louis Kimber 2022. Who knows? Who knows? We could see some absolute Louis Kimber masterclasses in county cricket at grounds up and down the country. But that is pretty much it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for today's episode. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.